93.1 KISS FM.
Okay, let's try this again. Can you tap the microphone? Let me see if I can hear you. Tap it really hard. Okay, now can I get a woot woot?
Woot woot.
Okay, all right, it's working. Now let's see, Steve Kaplowitz is joining me this morning.
Oh, don't worry, I'll make sure that mic works.
Yeah, I don't know if his works. I can't hear him.
Yeah, me neither. My wife says the same thing for the last 17 years, that's right.
He's not a loud talker.
Which is it, Steve?
Steve doesn't talk loud at all.
No,
Steve
not
doesn't
at all.
Even need a microphone. Actually, that's what we should have done to begin with. We should have just given you his.
That's right.
And then he could have just, he wouldn't even have to shout out the questions.
You know who I learned that from? The late, great Paul Strelzin. Never needed a microphone in his life.
Yeah. That's right, baby.
He had a voice.
Here's my weenie flag, baby. Okay, so let's get started. This is Ask a Lawyer with Michael Gopin. These are questions that you have submitted either through the app or on kisselpaso.com, legal questions that Michael will answer for you.
Fantastic. So Army's going to start it off, Mike, and here we go. I have a question, Army says. If you bought a house, then you met a person, she moved in. The two of you have been living together for years. Does that girl have the right to get any part of the house if it was sold?
Oh, man. She'd probably take the closet and the bathroom.
She could take her clothes.
If she had the right to a part of the house, I bet you those would be the two she would pick.
Well, sounds like the question is, were you guys common law married or not? And the definition tends to be if you held out as married to other people. So if you said, this is my wife, even though you weren't legally married, mm-hmm. and then you're living together, you're going to be common law married.
So, is that the key phrase or what? You have to utter that phrase to people?
I mean, basically, yes. That doesn't have to be those exact words, but you have to hold out as a married couple. So, some people will say, well, we never got married by the state or the church, but, it's my wife and my husband or something like that. Mm-hmm. In that case, if they're living together, yes, they're common law wife, and that is a marriage. So it sounds like that he bought this house before he was married, so it would be his separate property if they were common law married, and therefore she wouldn't be able to get the house, but she would get some reimbursement. She would have a reimbursement claim for the money that the community estate paid out for the house during the marriage. So it's a very complicated legal situation.
It sounds like it. Because what if she never put in any money to pay for the mortgage?
Doesn't matter, because if the question is if they're married. So if they're married, my money is your money is my money. So she is putting into the marriage because the husband's money is also hers because it's community property.
Even if it's a separate bank account?
Correct. Even if they're married. So that's the first issue is, are they common law or not? If they're not, she has no right to anything. It's over. If they are, then she has a potential right for reimbursement, depending on how long we're talking about, but she would have a right.
By the way, if you're not married, but you've been living together for years, when does the common law thing kind of kick in? How long does it have to take for it to become common law?
There's no. It could be living together for 2 weeks if you hold out as married. So if you never hold out as married, I'm just living with her. She's my girlfriend, and we're living together. There's no marriage, and you could be living there for 50 years, and there's no marriage.
So it sounds like you would have to find people that could back you up saying, oh, yeah, he always introduced me as the wife.
Correct. It would be a battle of common law or not.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting.
Oh, man, yeah. You should have just given her a key.
That's what you would have done. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
But then you had like a double lock, and that one would only be unlatched, when you were home.
When it was safe. Huh?
Yes.
I got you.
I like that.
It's a plan.
Here's Martha's question for you. My son was in a car accident after leaving UTEP the other day. He was hit by another student from Juarez. Does this have any effect on his claim?
No, the fact that he was from Juarez has no effect on his claim. The question will be, does he have insurance? So if he has insurance, you'll be able to recover.
By he, you mean the driver from Juarez?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, the person that was driving the car from Mexico, if they have insurance, there'll certainly be a claim. They will go through insurance and recover for injuries, for property damage, and so forth. If there is no insurance, mm-hmm. which is possible, then he would have to go ahead and his own insurance for what we talked about before, the uninsured motorist coverage claims.
Mm-hmm. And that would be provided that he bought that.
That he bought that, correct. So that's why you need to make sure you have that coverage.
Yeah. It's Because if you just get the cheapest one,
liability
does not cover situations like this.
It would not cover, so you need to protect yourself with either collision or uninsured motorist coverage, which is what I would recommend that people get, because it only protects the people in your car and not the other guy's car, so it protect you and your family.
When you have most of these cases, do most people have uninsured motorist coverage as part of their policies?
Probably 50-60% do. Yeah. There's a lot of people that don't, and I mean, I understand the reasoning. It costs more money.
Yeah, especially like a student. A lot of students, I mean, they just get what they have to get, you know, the $25 a month thing, which is just
the liability.
Liability.
But, yeah, the problem is when... You know, bad things happen.
And that only protects you when you're the one that
when you're at fault, correct.
Yeah, see, okay. Ask a Lawyer with Michael Gopin, and Steve Kaplowitz is in for Tricia, who will be gone probably for a couple of more weeks, with the questions for Mr. Michael Gopin.
Another insurance question, this one from Andrew. I was in an accident the day after my insurance expired. I was told by my insurance that they couldn't help me because of the date that it occurred. Is this true? I thought there was like a grace period or something like that.
Well, I guess that will go to the documentation and what you mean by expired. If they had sent you written notice that your policy expired on February 1st and they sent it to you, they mailed it to you, you got it, you didn't do anything about it. February 2nd, the accident comes along, you're out of luck. I mean, it's just what it is.
Yeah.
So you really have to keep on top of those insurance coverages so they don't lapse.
Right, right. Or do what the automatic renewal option.
Yeah. The now, you know, a lot of companies would have backed it out, you know, if you pay and, okay, we'll just reinstate it. But once you told them that there's another accident, there's no way they're going to reinstate it and have a liability on their hands. So,
right.
Yeah, you just need to make sure that your coverages do not lapse.
Okay. So then, yes, it's true
to answer
his question or her question.
By the way, for future reference, if you get into an accident and your insurance expired the day before, even though you're taking insurance information, don't contact your insurance about the accident until you renew your policy, right?
A little smart,
can you do
tidbit. Well, you shouldn't, but I'm sure people have.
You have to get caught.
All right.
Okay.
All right, here's Jerry. When my mother passed, she had left me and my sister some things in her will. My father, however, kept all of it and isn't giving it to us. Can he do this?
Well, that's a legal and a more of a moral kind of question that you have to look at. Depending on what type of property and things your mom left you, let's just say it was a sofa or something like that, and it's community property. So your mom can't give away community property that your dad has an ownership in. Mm-hmm. So she can give away her half of the community property, but she can't give away your dad's half of it. So if it's personal property like that, you can only give away part of it. So, you know, dad still has a legal interest in that piece of property.
Yeah, dad needs a place to sit.
Right. You know, and maybe your dad is sentimental about these items and really can't fathom the idea of them leaving the house at this point in time. So I would suggest to be patient.
Right. Or maybe he's just a D. And he's, you know,
that's possible too. If it's a money kind of thing, you know, that's easy. You can give away, you know, money as long as it doesn't go over half of the community property.
Yeah. Okay,
so that would be something that she could collect. But you would need to do it, you know, in the courthouse. So, and I don't know, you want to go against your father in some situation like that.
It could be it could be anything that's property. It could be photos. It could be a dresser.
It could be jewelry, or her mom's jewelry and the dad, you know, I don't really want to give it away because it really means something to me and it would hurt me if it's gone.
Which would be like, you'll get it when I'm dead.
Yeah, exactly. So you would have to weigh the pros and cons of going against your father in a court of law over stuff, you know?
Right.
It's not worth it a lot of times. And I'd recommend giving your dad some time.
I mean, unless he's a big D. In which case, then maybe you
want
to be vengeful
can't answer,
about it.
You know that type of question, but you know he could be.
All right, Ask a Lawyer with Michael Gopin. That's the first set of your legal questions. We'll be right back. We have more to ask of Michael Gopin. Ask a Lawyer on 93.1 KISS FM.